Is it working, Barry?
All right.
It better be, or you're fired.
Yeah, all right.
Nothing phases him, man. Jeremiah chapter 51. You know, the old steam engines used to run on a power that they called steam power. It was, they would have a big, I mean, this front part of the engine was nothing but a big tea kettle. It was just filled with water. That was all it was filled with. Underneath it was a fire. Towards the back of it was a fire that they were constantly filling up with coal or sometimes with wood. And it would heat up the water, and the water would produce steam, and the steam would push these pistons and make that steam locomotive go and go and go. And I want to talk to you about when you run out of steam. When you run out of steam. Jeremiah chapter 51, let me get there in verse 34. Jeremiah 51, in verse 34. And this is about Israel. It says this: Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me. He hath crushed me. He hath made me a what kind of a vessel? An empty vessel. He has swallowed me up like a dragon. He has filled his belly with my delicates. He took my best and he hath cast me out. It's like eating chicken and you throw away the bones. You know, when you read that chapter, you ever felt like that? You ever felt used up, empty, worn out, and even discarded? Israel did. You know, the devil never leave you better off. You better believe that. All right? Now, this is an illustration in Jeremiah chapter 15, Jeremiah 51, of what Nebuchadnezzar, which was an opposing army, what they did to Israel and how they left Israel as captives, as slaves, and took everything from them. And sin will always do that to you. But can I be honest with you? It's a fact of life that everybody's going to do that to you. People take advantage of you. I mean, I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd. I'm talking to those of you who didn't eat too much this afternoon. And you came back for Sunday night. And I'm talking to you. You know, when you're teaching Sunday school, when you're working the ministry in any type of area, when you're putting out the extra effort so that you put God first in your life, you're more likely to be more tired than other people. You're more likely to run out of steam. And I'm talking to the people who the devil would like to get you to run out. Where you just go, I give up. Israel was at that place. There was no place to turn except to God, thankfully. We all hit empty at times. We run out of steam. We run out of energy. We don't have any strength. Maybe like our song, where we can't even get up. No, the only push-up some people do is when they're pushing away from the table. And weariness is a part of life. And it's, I want to say this. It is a good part of life. If you didn't get tired, you wouldn't sleep. You ever been there? You ever laid down and your mind's racing and you're not tired enough to sleep? And you're like, you waste hours, but you got to get up in the morning? It's not very fun. Weariness is a part of life. And it is a very big part of the Christian life. One of the ways you know that you're doing right is that when you're serving God, you're tired. Amen. Because if you serve God and you find it easy, I don't think you're doing the will of God then. Because the will of God will always take you beyond what you think you can do. So, we get empty when we set our hearts on doing good to others. When we set our lives to be a blessing and a ministry to others, guess what? You're gonna get used up. And the idea is, I use the illustration of a car petrol tank. And when that hits E in your life, it's just like when you're driving a car. It's because you've been driving the car. I mean, you don't want to run out of petrol? Just don't drive the car. There are a lot of people who don't want to risk their good attitude by meeting around other people. There are some people who just don't get along with people. You know anybody like that? And so they just stay away from everybody. But that's not the Christian life. If you're going to interact with people and try to be a blessing to people, you're going to, like, it's like driving the car, you're going to run out of petrol. Now, here's the problem. Christians constantly, instead of filling up running out, they're constantly running on empty. You can't do that very long. You can't get up and teach Sunday school. You can't get up like Brother John and lead music. You can't, on the job, constantly be a witness. You can't minister at home and in every different way. You can't do it on empty. You've got to have a filling that I want to talk about tonight. You know, with a car, all you have to do is look for a petrol station. You pull in, and in 3 minutes, 4 minutes, you can be on your way again. Don't you wish that were the same with Christian life? But I want to say this. You need to have a place where you do fill up. And you need to know where that place is. An old preacher I heard preach one time, he said this. You need a blessing place. You need a place where that's all it is to you. It's not a place for fun. It's not a place where anybody else may not even know what goes on there. But that is the place that you and God meet and you come away full. You need that. Now, what shouldn't you do when you run out of gas? Well, I've heard of people who, when their car runs out, they get so tired of all the maintenance of the car that when the car runs out of petrol, they don't know any better. They're constantly taking it in to get fixed or whatever, and so when the thing just conks out, they get out and they walk away from it. Now, the problem was just that they ran out of petrol, but they were constantly having problems with their car. And they didn't know that they just were out of petrol, so they would get out of the car and walk away from it. And you know, a lot of people, they quit church because something's not working right. They run out of gas, they run out of petrol, and they go, forget it. And they walk away and they quit when all they needed was to get filled up again. Amen? Don't quit. Stay the course. You know what the Bible says? Jesus went a little further. When everybody else was giving out, Jesus kept going. And so should we. Don't say stupid things. You know, when you run out of gas, when you run out of petrol, all of a sudden your kids in the back will hear you say things that you don't normally say. Now, am I being plain? All of a sudden you start blaming your wife. Didn't you fill it up? How come I always have to fill it up? And your kids are in the back going, here comes another fight. When you run out of steam, you'll find yourself saying stupid things. And don't neglect to get filled up again. You know, it would be a shame if you're driving alongside the road and you see Dan and Kathy there and they're on the side of the road. And you wave and they wave. They're out of petrol, okay? And they're just sitting in the car. And you go to the shop and an hour later you're coming back and there you are. And you still see them. They're sitting in the car. They've run out of petrol. And they're neglecting to go get it filled up again. I want to say that when you run out of steam, it'll get you where you're stuck and you don't move. And you may end, you know, it would be a shame for anybody in this room to still be at the place they were this time last year. Do you know the goal of Christian life is I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Don't you dare stay stuck. You'll run out of petrol. You will pull along the side. Other people will be passing you by. Well, don't sit there. Don't neglect to get filled up again. Go get a milk carton. Go fill up some, get it with petrol. Come back, fill it up, and get back in the race. Amen? Don't neglect to get filled again. Now, these are some of the signs that you're empty. What do you mean? If you're constantly quitting, and I'm talking about quitting right things. You won't quit smoking, but you'll quit church. Isn't that funny? You won't quit the internet, but you'll quit reading your Bible. Amen, amen, amen. Come on. You're quitting the wrong things. And if you're quitting the right things and the good things, that's a sign that you're on empty. Does that make sense? But there are some other signs that you run on empty. One is you're irritable. My wife will look at me and go, are you irritable? Like a knife. And what she's saying basically is, are you on empty? Amen. You have no grace with people. You don't have any joy, no thankfulness. That's a sign that you're running on empty. Maybe you're making some bad decisions. You made some decisions before when you were full. Now that you're empty, you're changing your mind. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. The decisions, when you make bad, it's one of the signs that you are running on empty is all of a sudden you just start making bad decisions. Start going back to the old ways, doing the old habits. You're making bad decisions. That ought to be a red flag. That's like the little indicator light on your next to your gauge going beep, 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 fuel, 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 saying you're empty. How about, you know, I had a, what kind of car was it? It wasn't a great car, all right? And the gauges stopped working. So you're driving along and you would, every once in a while, they might have a car like that where the gauges didn't work, so you had to just think, I got to put petrol in, keep it up, because I don't know when you're going to run out. Well, I was driving along, and I remember I worked an hour and 10 minutes away from home. And I'm driving along, and I'm going 60 miles an hour, all the cars are going, and there's... And I went, what's the problem? No fuel. Start and stop and start and stop. Spiritually, we do that too, don't we? Oh, Pastor, I'll be there soul winning. And then on Friday night, just for Saturday morning, I get a text, can't come. Oh, I'll be in church on Sunday night. And then Sunday afternoon, I get a text, I won't be there. That's start and stop and start and stop. And what is that? They're out of petrol. They're out of steam. That's what you do when you're running on empty. Loss of power. I mean, you're driving along and the fuel's not getting to the engine. The engine, you know, I've been there. I was talking to Dan before. I've been there where I come to Saturday and I feel powerless. I got to preach on Sunday, banging my head, saying, "Lord, I know what you want me to preach, but it's got nothing there for me." I've been there. Dozens and dozens and dozens. I had to get out of my house and walk the little roads, you know, in our estate, and walk around and just cry out and say, "God, I'm powerless." I've been there. Anybody else? No power. Loss of power. Stuck. I mean, if you still are the same, doing the same things, no growth in over a year, you're running on empty. Run on empty. Now, the wonderful blessing is this, that God will renew us, that God will sustain us and rekindle us, thankfully, not only daily, but hourly as we need it. That's what I want to talk about tonight, because what do you do when you're weary and when you run out of steam? Father, please bless these thoughts. Challenge your people as you challenge me. Help us, Lord, to take note of the gauge, when we're getting low, that we don't run all the way down. And that we make sure we constantly, constantly top up, fill up, rekindle, revive. I don't want to get to the place where I don't feel anything. I don't want to get to the place where I'm cold and stuck. I pray nobody in this room does either. I ask you, God, to just challenge us tonight. Help us to make some strong, wise decisions about our relationship with you and our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, first of all, I'm going to give you three thoughts, and then I'm going to give you seven challenges. Three thoughts. First one is this. When we talk about running out of gas, look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. When you run out of petrol, make sure that you get weary, yet you run out by doing good. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, do we get weary? But don't give up trying to be a blessing. And I just want to say it this way. I just want to take that verse and just dive into a great truth, and that is that laziness, slothfulness cannot be refreshed. If you're not doing well-doing, if you're not doing anything that is a benefit to somebody else, if you're not sacrificing your brighter time to minister to somebody else, don't count on getting refreshed. God, deliver us from laziness. Every person in this room needs to be laboring, working, having something to do that counts for something. You need to have a reason to get up in the morning. You need to have a reason to get out to church. You may not get anything from my preaching, but you ought to be here for God. You ought to be here because it's your purpose in life to meet with the believers. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And you say, I don't care, and I try everything I can so that you do get something out of my preaching. But the challenge is that you say, you know what, I get to be there. It's the place where I get refilled. That's what you do. You need to work so that you have something that, and do something that counts for something. In other words, serve the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians. Go to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. Let's see. I'm going to give Brother Dan, if you'll read 1 Corinthians 15, 10. We'll just go through the room here. Got a few scriptures. All right. He says, anything that I've ever done, I did by the grace of God. Amen. And yet he puts a word, he glues something to it. Did Paul just sit there on a couch and expect things to happen around him? No, what does it say he did? He labored more than Peter, more than John, more than James, more than Matthew. He says, I labored more than they all. That's a good thing. He served the Lord. Serve people. You want to get tired? Serve people. Somebody said the world would be a great place if it weren't for people. Serve people. And then, when you're tired doing that, you can be refreshed and refilled by a supernatural force that is available only to Christians. I'm telling you, the world says take this drug. The world says go on a holiday and you come back and you're more tired than ever. Because you're doing it, you're trying to get filled up from the wrong direction. Secondly, desire to be filled. Luke, please. Gospel of Luke chapter 6. And Miss Kathy. Luke chapter 6 and verse 21. Wow. All right. So it's a blessing to be hungry because God says, I want to fill you. So if you're running on empty, something may be happening, and that is this, okay? You're not, when you come to church, you're not getting filled. It's like you're hungry and you see some little snacks, maybe some crisps and some Doritos, you know, and so you snack a little bit. But it doesn't fill you. Amen? You come to church and you sing pitifully. And you just sit there and you don't minister to anybody. And so you come in. What it's like going to the petrol station and putting 2 liters in. How far will you get on 2 liters? Now maybe your car is ultra tremendous, all right? But 2 liters is not going to get my car very far. And so you're constantly running out. When you come to church, when you come to this Bible, and we're going to talk about lots of things, but when you come to God, you know what you need to be crying out? Fill me. I don't want to just sample. I don't want to just taste. I want to know what it needs to be filled. That's the desire that every Christian in this room needs. Desire to be filled. Don't cheat yourself. Don't cheat yourself by missing what God is offering. And really, you know what? You may only have 5 euros in your pocket, so you can only put two liters of petrol in. Amen? But if you want to be filled, guess what? It's going to cost you 90 euros to fill up your tank, isn't it? And if you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to be filled with the things that God offers you, it's probably going to cost you more than you have in your pocket. Be willing to pay the price. Secondly, desire to be filled. Thirdly, fill up on good fuel. Fill up on good fuel. Watching 18 hours of television a day is not good fuel. Watching 8 hours of television a day is not good fuel. Are you getting my drift? Hanging with the old buddies. Maybe it's relaxing to you, but it's not good fuel. Go to Psalm 119. I'm going to give you the seven things that are, and I have nearly 30 things, but I'm going to be gracious to you tonight. I'm going to be merciful. Psalm 119, Nita, verse 28. Psalm 119 in verse 28. Good fuel. You need proper. You know, you ever had somebody tell you you got bad petrol, and it clogged up your fuel filter. You ever had that happen? Because you got bad fuel. You imagine putting syrup in your petrol tank. You know, if you just ate Kit Kats every day, morning, noon, and night, how long will you live? Not very long, because it's not proper fuel. Let's learn about what are some good fuel here. Psalm 119, verse 28. So what do you think is the first thing you ought to be filling up at? The Bible. You better fill up on God's words. I really believe you ought to spend a half hour every day in that book. And if you can, go to an hour. Now, very few get to spend that much time. But you must not just come and put a little bit of fuel in your heart. You need time in that book. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to spend an hour in God's supernatural book every day? You may only have time for one chapter. Amen. I mean, you're sitting there, you're late getting up. Don't make it a habit. And you're eating your cornflakes, have your Bible right there. Not your iPad, not your iPhone, not the TV. Your Bible there. And I'm just as guilty as you are. You're like, I can't even think. I'm down to one cup of coffee today. It's the size of a bucket. Anyway, you come there and you're like, you don't even want to think about the Bible. Think about it. Put it there. You got time for one chapter? Amen. But then as you get home later that afternoon, before you head out with the friends, before you head out and do your own thing, pull out that Bible again and say, I got to fill up on this book. Amen. Fill up on it. You say, I don't understand the Bible, because you aren't reading it. You only, listen, the author of that book only explains the book as you listen to the book. The Holy Spirit can't explain what you haven't read. Boy, that's deep, Pastor. Say that again. The Holy Spirit can't explain what you haven't read. So read it. Force yourself into the habit of making time for that Bible so you're filled up with God's words. I mean, honestly, by Sunday, Brother Dan, everybody in this room shouldn't be, you don't know the week I've had. We'll be running on empty. Now, we know sometimes that happens. But you know, it's kind of nice when people come in and they are pumped. They have had a week in the Word. And they're like, how can I help? Where, you want me to preach, Pastor? Amen. That's somebody full on the Word of God. And it strengthens us, doesn't it? They're filled on the Word of God. Secondly, hold on to some good friends. God often restores us through an encouraging word of a friend. Go to Deuteronomy 3. Brother John, Deuteronomy 3, I'm going to show you a few of these people that really meant a lot to some important people in the Bible. Deuteronomy 3:25. And I want you to see how Moses encouraged Joshua. Deuteronomy 3:25, Brother John. And I want you to read down to 28. Now, do you remember, sorry to stop you there, but that was Moses. He's praying. He says, God, let me go into that good land that you told me about. Verse 26.
The Lord was brought to me to the earth, and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, fight me, if you warrant me in this time. Get you up into the top of Israel, and mix up thy name, westward and northward, and southward and eastward, and hold it with thy name, that thou shalt not go over the destroy them. But charge of Joshua.
Amen. Amen. All right, so Moses doesn't get to go into the promised land. But you know, Joshua got in and led that people, and I believe he was a success because Moses took that seriously. He says, Well, if I can't do anything else, I'm going to encourage Joshua so that he accomplishes it. You know, Joshua had a good friend in Moses. You better make sure you have some good friends. We've had too many bad friends who are like leeches. Job chapter 4. Ruth, if you'll read Job chapter 4, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Just before Psalms. Job chapter 4. The first four verses. And this is the testimony of Job. Job had a testimony of encouraging people. Job 4, 1 to 4. All right, wow. Eliphaz says, you know, we watched your life and you have helped. You picked up weak people. Your words have encouraged people. You know, I'd like to have that kind of testimony. I want somebody to come along and if I've got a bad day, people say, you know what, you are always a blessing. Amen. Be an encourager. That and somebody, you know what, somebody will sit down right next to you and soak you up. Because they want to get filled. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, Sarah. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. What does it mean to refresh somebody? If you feel refreshed, what does that mean? Revive is a good word. You take a little nap. I know you never take any naps. Kids don't take naps. But, you know, I get a 20-minute nap, 10-minute nap, anything, and I feel refreshed. Sometimes, you know, you've been working hard, and you get in, and you take a shower, and you feel refreshed. Paul says, Onesiphorus often refreshed me. I think Paul needed Onesiphorus. How about one more? 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And Jennifer, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. It's all throughout the New Testament. I picked four. I got more. There's Philemon. There's a bunch of different guys. Barnabas was one of the best in the New Testament. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Fortunatus, he's Chinese. Amen. Yeah, don't forget the ones who've refreshed you and me. People, you need good friends. You need somebody that is not a good time, Charlie. As a Christian, walk with wise men. As a matter of fact, find somebody more spiritual than you. Find somebody more spiritual than you and just draw from them what you need when you're low and when you're running on empty. Good friends will make the difference in your life because Paul, guess who was always with him? Luke. Wow. Luke wasn't a preacher. Luke wasn't a great planner and scheduler. And Luke wasn't a great sermon writer and a great student of the Bible. Luke says, I just want to be a good friend to that man of God. I just want to be there when nobody else is there. And Luke was there. And Paul says, it's because of people like Luke that he says, I finished my course with joy. He helped me finish what God called me to do. Hold on to you. Get some good friends. Third, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, Andrew, to the right there, find Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Familiar portion of Scripture, hard to live. Ephesians 5 and verse 18. Okay, so does it say, take a drink of the Spirit? Is that what it says? No. Does it say, you know, sample or taste or get a little? No. What does it say? To be filled. We were talking about this in the office there. I guess it was a Saturday or Friday, and thinks, you know, well, how much is a filling? I don't know. Just whatever it is, be full. I can't get all of the Holy Spirit that there is. All of the Holy Spirit was in Jesus, wasn't He? But I can't get as much as Jesus had, but I can fill up. However much there is for Christ to fill in me, I want to be full. Look at Ephesians. Bill, if you'll read Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Listen to Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesians. All right, where do we normally seek to be strong? On the outside. We try to eat right, which is good. We try to exercise right, and that's good. That profits us a little. We try all kinds of things so that on the outside, the outer man, I'm strong. But where do I really need strength? In the inner man. And that's the place the Holy Spirit wants to fill up. Because if the Holy Spirit hasn't filled me, guess what? Your spirit is a vacuum. It sucks in everything. And if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you better believe you will be filled with every unholy spirit, every ungodly thought. Anything the devil throws at you just sticks. You better just desire and determine, I'm going to stay filled with the Spirit. And that means constantly. He doesn't say be filled once. He says be filled. Say, well, I ran out. We'll get filled again. Be constantly filled. And I want to go back. Look in chapter 5. Look at verse 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Tunde, would you read real loud? Still in the same chapter. I want to see if you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to get rid of some old furniture. You're going to have to get rid of some things that are blocking the way for Him to fill up your life. It's anything that might clog or grieve the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 8 to 12. Amen. Go ahead. Which are done of them in secret. Yes, okay, I thought you were through. My mind's racing in. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to get rid of things that are dark in your life. If you have a desire to watch these horror movies that make it so that you can't sleep at night, don't do it. The Holy Spirit doesn't occupy that kind of a heart. In the modern age, people are pushing the envelope on evil. I was talking to Sarah there several weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, we were talking about, you know, years ago, the old Westerns, remember the old Westerns? There was never any blood, remember that? But the guy would, whoo, and he'd go down, and he was dead. You knew he was dead, amen? Then they upped it a little bit. You'd see somebody, and you see a little blood, you know, running, and you go, then it got, now they shoot, and you see the bullet coming out of the back of them. It's evil. It's not just, you just don't think, oh, he's dead. No, you think, that's not the way I want to die. Do you understand what I'm saying? And people in movies, aliens, you're killing, it's evil. And you say, I just don't get filled with the Holy Spirit. Of course you don't. Because there's darkness there. Blindness. Look at verse 15. Kemi. Still in chapter 5, ignorance here. Chapter 5 in verse 15. Now, this is all the verses leading up to the verse that says, be filled with the Spirit. So, these are things that are going to help me be filled with the Spirit. And if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, what am I walking circumspectly? That means to look all around. It's like crossing the street. You look both ways, and you look again, and you look again before you ever cross, right? So, as a Christian, what am I looking for? Why am I having my eyes open so wide and walking with all eyes open? Why? You know, Kimmel? Not sure? Who can help her? You're watching out. You're watching out for demonic attack. You're watching out for traps. The point is this. If you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to be careful of being blind to His devices. Down there in Afghanistan and over in Iraq, they would plant these. They're called IUDs or IEDs. What are they called? Yeah, the roadside bombs. Really, they're mines. And the soldiers are walking along and they're boom. They're either dead or they've lost the bottom half of their body. They didn't see it. So they have very high paid soldiers who go along to find those things to protect each other. You've got to watch out because the devil will plant something right there. The Bible uses the term. It says, we're not ignorant of his devices. A very modern term. In the verse 17, Leo, if you don't mind, chapter 5, verse 17. So, you know, one of the things that would make you unable to be filled with the Holy Spirit is ignorance of the will of God. Now, you don't have to know always the big will of God for your life. Maybe you don't know right yet. Maybe God hadn't revealed it to you. But you ought to know what He wants you to do today. You ought to know who you're supposed to be. Notice our Bible talks about be attitudes, not wanna-be attitudes. They're what you're supposed to be. That's the will of God. And when you don't know what the will of God is, you're walking like a fool. And you'll run out. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Find God's will and do it. Look, now look at verse 18. And I'll get Eric, chapter 5, verse 18. And look at the first part of the verse. You may. I want the whole verse. So, notice the contrast. Wine is always excessive. It always is intoxicating. Listen to that term. You say, well, I only have a little. You dummy. Is anybody going to trust you to drive? No. Because it is excess. But I should be filled. I can't be both, can I? So if I am a drinker, I'm just a social drinker. Get over it. Dump the liquor out. And be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't ever let yourself be under the control of some alcohol, some wine, some beer, whatever you want to call it, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen and amen. These are things you get rid of because they grieve the Holy Spirit of God. He doesn't fill somebody like that. Same thing with drugs and all. All right. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That leads us a way that helps us to be on good fuel. You say, well, how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Look at the next verse. Write music. Verse 19, Allison. Wow. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and rock music. Is that what it says? Eminem's in there somewhere, isn't he? Madonna. I mean, she sounds spiritual, doesn't she? No, you've got to look at, and you've got to check, look at your music in your home and say, does that honor Christ? Does that minister to my spirit, or does it only move my flesh? And I've had people battle days, weeks, months before they finally looked at their collection and says, I got to get rid of it all because it was all nothing but rubbish that they, when they slid it in, they weren't thinking anything about God. If you want to be filled, because in the end of verse 18, is there a full stop, Allison? No. Because if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to have right music. I'll show you a couple of the, at least one illustration here. Go to 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23. Hold in your place in Ephesians. 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23. Now, what was David before he became king? And we know he was a shepherd, but what was he good at? He was good at music. Look at 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23. And if you would read that also, Allison. Amen. You want to keep a bad attitude? Listen to music that encourages rebellion. You want to get a good attitude? Listen to something that speaks and sings about Jesus. And about surrender, and about submission, and about praying, and about looking forward to heaven, and about soul winning. And get right kind of music, amen? Ecclesiastes says, don't sing the song of fools. Godly music will help. Ephesians, back to Ephesians 5:20, we're watching, we're going through, filled with the Holy Spirit. New right music will help me do that. Praise will go a lot farther as well. Mary Ann, Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Wow. Now that's a very mature, that's a very strong verse, Mary Ann. It doesn't say, I know we all want it to say, giving thanks in everything. It doesn't say that. I don't find that easy, do you? But you know, do you want to be refreshed so that you can face the hard things? Praise God for them. You know, God inhabits the praises of His people. Inhabits? He fills us when we praise Him. You say, well, I don't see anything happening. Praise Him anyway. It just ought to be a constant work of my life that just loves to just praise and thank God. Find something to be thankful for. Praise God a lot. This is how you fill up. You say, praising God fills. Yes, the more you praise God, the more He inhabits you. Amen. Two more thoughts. Hebrews 5, and we're through. Hebrews 5. Let's see. Amanda, Hebrews 5. Now you can leave Ephesians. Hebrews 5 and verse 7 to 9. Three verses. Hebrews 5, verses 7, 8, and 9. Amanda, please. You need to have times of strong prayer. And I'll show you how this works in a moment. Speaking of Jesus. That is a powerful, powerful. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, is He just talking to God or what's happening? Do you remember? When Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, is He just having a chat with His Father? No. Now I'm talking facetiously so that we get it in our minds. He actually, it says, He says to His disciples, will you not pray with Me 1 hour? That goes on three times. He has prayed for up to 3 hours. And it says here, with strong crying. Now, was God able to save him? Yes or no? He prayed unto the only power that could save him. Did God save him? No. But God enabled him so that, come to verse 9, it says, in being made perfect. You see, as a man, God the man prayed for strength so he wouldn't fail, getting to the cross and dying, and 3 days later getting up again. Amen. And you can. And Jesus didn't say, I'll see you on the other side. It's not how He talked to the Father. And if you run out of steam, you need to have some times where you have some strong praying, strong crying, and you say, God, I can't go another step. I have run out. My brakes, my clutch is burned out. Everything's busted, man. I can't go another step. Dear God in heaven, I need you. I'm about to pull out. I'm about to quit. That's okay. You're in the right place. You can cast all your care upon Him. And you'll be able to get up and go, I don't want to quit anymore. I want to go a little further now. Because if you remember, each time that Jesus prayed, I already mentioned it, each time He prayed, and He'd get up and He'd go and kick Peter, you know, get up, Peter, pray with me. Would you not pray with me a little while, an hour only? And then He'd go up and He'd say, and He went a little further. Every time He was praying, He was able to go a little further. And when you stop and you can't go any further, that's a time to pray and say, dear God, help me. I don't know if I can go a mile, but I can go 100 feet. Amen. Have times of strong prayer. Last thought. Wait a lot. Isaiah 40. Wonderful, wonderful verse. Hannes, would you read Isaiah 40? This is a tremendous portion of Scripture. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. I hope you have memorized or put a star by these verses because they are life refreshing. They are reviving. Verse 28 to 31. All right, forgive me for a second, but does God ever get tired? Does He ever get weary? No. Now, we do. Look at the next verse, 29. Amen. Keep going. Amen. That's a good verse, isn't it? They that wait upon the Lord. Now you may be waiting on everybody else, but learn to wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. Another cross-reference. Are you there already? There we got a young lady already on the ball. Psalm 27 and verse 14. This ought to be a life verse of half of you. Psalm 27 verse 14. Give everybody a chance there, Shane. I'm not as fast as you are. I like how God repeats Himself. My mom always told me if I have to repeat it, it's because it's serious. All right, go ahead. Wow. You want to get full, you want to get strengthened, you want to get revived, look unto Jesus and just stay. And say, you know, Lord, I'm going to go to work, but I'm going to trust in You. I'm going to wait on You. I'm going to come home. I'm going to pay my bills. I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to be in church. I'm going to serve everything I need to do. I'm going to do, I know I need this, but I'm going to trust You. And no matter how long it waits, hello Moses, hello Abraham. I'm getting back to my pleasure. I'm having one of those end-of-message moments. Hello, Abraham and Sarah. No matter how long it takes, I will learn to wait on the Lord because He does renew your strength. He'll refresh you. You know, somebody needs to get the idea that they've run out of gas, they've run out of petrol, they've run out of steam. So you're not going anywhere very quick. You get filled on God's words. You find you some good friends who kick you in the rear every once in a while, get you motivated. You get a desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You have a desire to fill your life in the time where you have a chance to listen to music, that you're listening to right kind of music, godly music, spiritual music. Use your mouth and your mind and your heart for praise all the time. Have times of strong prayer where you're defeated, ruined, disaster. Pray. And then learn to wait on God. You know what will happen? You'll be refreshed. Now let's have a test. Let's see if you can remember any of that. You ready? First of all, you ought to be weary in well-doing. Make sure you're doing well, right things. Listen, if you get wore out sinning, I have no pity on you. Because sin does wear you out. The way of the transgressor is hard. Get tired doing well. Secondly, desire to be filled. Don't just come to church and say, well, I got a little bit out of that mess. You ought to be, I mean, these kids up here on the front, shame on some of you. These kids try to write down everything I say. Your pastor is the best preacher in the world. He's the most handsome. He's got the best looking wife. Come on, write it all down. You ought to just, listen, if you pay good money to go to some concert or some game, you paid 100 euros to get some, you'd be all eyes. You'd be there as close as you can, and there you are, not even paying attention. Shame on you. Desire to be filled. Third, fill up on what kind of fuel? Good fuel. Good fuel. What are the good fuel? First one is, fill up on God's Word. That book you hold in your hand. Then fill up on good friends. You got a good set of friends in here. You say, well, they're not that great. I beg to differ. You make these people your best friend. You know, if you want to have some good friends, you ought to be one. So the Bible says, he who has friends must show himself friendly. So be a friend. All of a sudden, you'll be surrounded by them. Then be filled with the... Everybody wants to be full of money. Everybody wants their pockets bulging. Why don't you seek the filling of the Holy Spirit more than you seek money? Everybody wants to be full of dinner. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and your life will change. Fill up on right... Music. Man, they will give you right thoughts. Fill up on right music and something God a lot. Praise God a lot. Constantly thankful and have times of strong prayer. I'm talking about where when you're praying, it's a battle. It's a struggle. I mean, you're real in prayer. I think there's one more. Anybody remember what it is? Wait a lot. There are so many other things. If you're carrying a lot of burden and it's just running to the ground, it's probably because you and somebody else aren't right. You need to get right with it. Simplify your life is another one. It's just getting off the baggage when you're running out of steam. But I think we learned enough, amen? You know, when you're... The Bible says this, one more verse, and I'll finish with this, and it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 16. Let's see. Ori, would you read that? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. So my outer man may be wore out, but my inner man is renewed day by day. And I showed you some of the ways how to. All right? Will you stand with me tonight?